Hello, neighbors, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hours Contractor. It is your host, it is Memphis, and you can follow along with me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And man, it has been a while, and I am hoping to make it a whole lot more of a regular occurrence, me back on the Dynasty Happy Hour family of shows. Been a while, been very, very busy in season. I do apologize for the inadvertent hiatus. How about that? That's a good word. My co-host Jerry, the intellectual over at the Dynasty Warzone, he would be so proud of the combination of words, inadvertent hiatus. Just a lot going on for me over at the Dynasty Warzone. All of a sudden, we went from doing one show a week on Wednesdays to two shows a week, which was planned coming into this season, to doing about four or five or six a week. It just really kind of exploded. Now, in fairness, this is a project that I've been wanting to do for some time. And man, I'm excited. We're going to do a lot of big stuff over at the, and it's no longer just the Dynasty Warzone. We're doing a network entitled the DWZ Football Network. Now, the DWZ will always pay homage to the Dynasty Warzone, which is how we started this, but we just got a lot more offerings. So what are we doing over there? We're doing a weekend wrap-up show. It's called the Dynasty Coffee Talk. You know, just a quick, you know, Monday, 15, 20, you know, maybe 30 minutes on a long one, you know, long enough to have a cup of coffee and listen to my boy Matthew Poole, a.k.a. Matty Biggs, at Matty Big Chest on Twitter. That's on Monday. Then we added an injury show with Matty and Dr. Kyle Bowser. Dr. Kyle is a doctor of physical therapy, and he is the medical consultant for the DWZ. And the MRI, it can get squished together with the Coffee Talk show. It can get squished together with some other shows. We're going to look to make that a regular Tuesday show in 2021. Then on Wednesday, as always, the DWZ, the Dynasty Warzone with me and Jerry. I think we've been 135 weeks in a row without missing a Wednesday, and that will continue to be the case. The best thing about all the other stuff that we're doing is that if you're just listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour because you love Dynasty, don't miss the Wednesday show. With all the other stuff that we're adding, the injury stuff, the wrap-up stuff, if you want just pure hardcore Dynasty, gang, that's Wednesdays with me and Jerry. We've added a gambling podcast, actually a couple. So the one on Thursday is called The Big Bet, and that's me and Dr. Kyle. Now, we've sprinkled in some DFS. We're going to shake that out in 2021. More on that in just a second. But The Big Bet, the reason why I'm into gambling, first of all, I've been into gambling since I was 16 years old, when I first stumbled into a pool hall, and billiards became poker, poker became sports betting became fantasy football came back to sports gambling, and here I am. I've always had a passion for action. This feeds that. I live in the state of Indiana, where sports betting is legal, app-based sports betting in particular. And it's currently legal, sports betting, in 20 of the 50 U.S. states. But the really cool part is that as of January 1st, more states are coming online. And then more states will be coming online in July. And as soon as January 1st, 2022, 47 of the 50 states will either have legal sports betting in their state, or will have presented legislation to make it legal. Man, this is a growing business. You can't watch a football game, get on your phone without seeing a DraftKings app, a FanDuel app. MGM Bet is a big one. So it's only going to grow. And it's something that I'm very passionate about, like Dynasty Fantasy Football. And it really helps you with fantasy football, you know, point spreads and stuff. So that's a big one. Wednesday is the FlexCast with Matt. It's just kind of like a little weekend preview. Maybe you're debating playing a couple of guys. Kind of has a redraft feel. And all of those shows that I just mentioned are also available on YouTube, not just in podcast form. And then finally, there's the People's Propcast. Again, this one goes into gambling. DraftKings, FanDuel, MyBookie.ag. They're all they're all presenting player props each and every game, and I have found that to be my niche, or niche, as it might be said. I'm just, I have this good luck, good fortune, and the work that I put in. I've done 8 people's prop cast on the season. I'm 18-6, so I've made a considerable amount of money for the listeners there. And it just kind of helps you think, but oh, well, this is the number, and should I put him in my lineup? We can always equate this back to fantasy football. So what's coming up? Well, we're going to be adding a full-service redraft show to the network right after the Super Bowl, as well as a full-service DFS show in the fall of 2021. Obviously, the war zone's not going anywhere. But really, gang, this is just a long-winded way of saying that the contractor will be back to a weekly show after the Super Bowl. I'm going to get in as many as I can between now and then, because I'm still working on a lot of stuff for the DWZ behind the scenes. If you want to be on the contractor, reach out. And I always butcher this poor dude's name, and I apologize in advance. He's from Australia. I thought we had a day locked down. His name's Kieran, and he's a great guy, super patient with me, and I am going to make him the next guest if it kills me. I've got some time off from work between now and the first of the year, so I'm going to try to get a couple of these in between then and now. If you wanted to join me here on The Contractor, all you have to do is hit me up on Twitter, at DWZMemphis, slide in my DMs, and hit me up. And if you're not on social media, you can email me. It's DynastyWarzone@gmail. Just DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. Send me an email, let me know, and I will do my best. I'm going to get my calendar together. This will be so much easier for me once the season's over, but I do want to get back to doing this. This is a passion project. I always sign off the Dynasty Warzone by saying, we're just here to make the world a better place for fantasy football. And that's true. That's a passion of mine, and I love helping folks. Get at me, get with me, and please follow the Dynasty Happy Hour and the Dynasty Warzone on both YouTube and in podcast forms. Guys, we're giving you all this free content. Us, the gang here at the DHH, the Dynasty Warzone crew. Everybody is giving you a ton of free content. So do us a solid, man. It's the holiday season. Maybe the gift of giving is in your heart. Share the show. Share it on Instagram. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Facebook. Share it wherever that you feel like it's worth sharing. And then subscribe, rate, and review. This is the way to help us grow. The more reviews, the more it moves us to the top of the list. So if a new Dynasty player is looking for Dynasty podcasts, the more reviews that the DWZ and the DHH have, the higher we move up that queue, that ratings list, that gets us to people faster. So the more reviews, that's why it's so important for us, particularly on Apple, because for whatever reason, Apple reviews translate across many platforms. But that is the gift you could give to us, and the gift we will continue to give to you is the best damn content we can give you. All right, let's only get into my guest. My guest tonight is named Jesse. Now, I owe Jesse one hell of an apology. He and I recorded this a while ago, and I mean a while ago. He is a great dude and a great show. I'm really excited. I listened back to it the other day. It's a little dated at this point. So here's what happened. He and I recorded this, and I thought I had compromised the file. I couldn't get it to open. I couldn't get it to load when I sent it to Tyler to load here at the Dynasty Happy Hour. So I apologized to Jesse, man. I felt like a turd. You know, we were gonna try to redo this, and he was, you know, whatever. And I need to get him back on because he wants to update, you know, some of the moves that he's made since he and I did this. So anyway, I'm off work. I'm on vacation, staycation for the holidays here. And I was redoing my setup here in my podcast studio, and boom, all of a sudden, there it was. Now, I am technologically illiterate, and that may be putting it mildly. I would not be anywhere without the help of my 13-year-old son, Vinny, and my friend slash graphics guru, Matt, which is Matty Big Chest on Twitter. By the way, side note, if you're looking for great graphics work for your MFL league, if you want to customize that thing, he does a great job. cannot push what Maddie does. It's at Maddie Big Chest on Twitter if you're interested. So anyway, Maddie and Vinny helped me get this thing all set up, and all of a sudden, son of a bitch, there's the file right there in front of me. So I'm going to get Jesse, we're going to listen to this show, and then I will get him back on the show as soon as I can. Obviously, I owe Kieran, again, apologize if I, you know, he's going to have to correct me. He's going to jump on, and he's going to break down how to pronounce his name, and he can lay the verbal smackdown on me for butchering that. So this one goes out to Maddie, this one goes out to Vinny, this one goes out to technology, and most of all, this one goes out to Jesse. I hope you guys all enjoyed this week's contractor. I hope to bring this to you on a much more regular basis. But until next time, I want to wish all of you guys a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever it is that you and yours celebrate. And most importantly, a Happy New Year. But until next time, it's Memphis. Talk to you soon, guys.
Hey guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day. Joined the Patreon. Reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey, Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster, and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.
Without any further ado, I am going to bring on my guest. His name is Jesse. And you know what? I was in such a hurry to get this guy on the show, I forgot to ask where he hails from. Jesse, how are you? And welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor.
My main man, Memphis. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Now, I know you're a United States citizen. I can tell because of the area code on your phone. But where do you hail from here in these great United States?
South Carolina. So shout out to all my boys in Myrtle Beach, but I live right now in the DMV DC area, Silver Spring, Maryland, to be exact.
All right. Well, glad to have you on the show. Now you have one of, if not the most unique scoring formats I've been handed to date. But before we dive into that, I would like to know a little bit more about you. We know you're currently residing in the great state of Maryland, but I would love to know a little bit about your dynasty and fantasy history. Now, we were talking before I hit the record button about how you invented the scoring system we're going to talk about tonight yourself, but the length of time you've been playing was pretty impressive. So why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about you and your level of expertise playing fantasy football?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I'm 46 years old. I've been playing, redraft fantasy football since about 1995. I'm going to catch a lot of heck from my boys if I don't really say this correctly. Myself, me, and my friend, Mark the Shark, sat down one day and invented this scoring system. Like I said, that was 1995. We still have that original league going. It's called Jerko Fantasy Football. Like I said, that's a 25-year league. I did redraft exclusively, different iterations of that league, different other leagues for about 23 years. And then just as I started to travel for work, some of my friends started a dynasty league, and I wasn't really able to participate. They used this league's format, or my scoring system, the same format, everything. And turned it into a dynasty league. And it wasn't until the beginning of last year that I really had time to sit down and dig in and take over an orphan. And by that time, I took over my friend's team that just had killed it, just had killed this team. No running backs, no nothing. So really have a lot of experience at redraft am a new Dynasty player. That's why I'm hooked up with you, man.
Well, you've been great to interact with. I like people who give as good as they get. I can tell from our interactions over the last few months, because I've been owing Jesse a spot on the show for quite some time. It's just been tough to get schedules to line up, but here he is. And first of all, shout out to the Jerko. Is Jerko?
Jerko. Like you're a jerk.
Shout out to the Jerko boys and Mark the Shark. I think that's great if they're listening. Guys, thank you for jumping on. And we're going to kind of, I guess, if to use a poker term, we're going to kind of tip our hand a little bit and let you, I guess, have a peek behind the curtain. But hey, this is the way the man wants it. So this is the way the man gets it. So this is a 10 owner league. That is correct, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess 10 GM. I'm trying to be much more politically correct with the using the term GM. And I got to be honest, I'm trying to use the term just GM, not necessarily dudes or guys or fellas or whatever, because we play in some leagues with some ladies out there. And speaking of sharks, they certainly are. So this is a 10-man. This is a 10-man, one QB league with some different scoring. So let me go over the scoring. This is not PPR. This is tight ends based off of, let me see here. I said tight ends. This is TDs are valued based on distance. So a 1 to 9 yard touchdown equals 6 points. A 10 to 19 yard touchdown is 7. 20 to 29 is 8. 30 to 39 is 9. 40 to 49 is 10. And then 50 yards plus is 12 points. Any TD of 75 yards or longer gets an additional 5 point game breaker bonus. Also, this is so that would put a premium on those home run hitters. Like obviously we love like a Devonta Adams type in the scoring format, but this really seems to favor the Tyreek Hills of the world who can break one all the time. A DK Metcalf would have me salivating. And then you get an out of position TD score. So you get 1.5 times above the above number. So you get a multiplier. You get 1.5 times for a receiving touchdown if you're a running back, or a rushing touchdown if you're a quarterback or a wide receiver. So a 30-yard receiving TD for a running back is worth 13.5 points plus 3 points for the yardage. So this is a highly bonused scoring system. Dude, this could be very, very torturous. Like you could be cruising right along and an Alvin Kamara, I think back to that game where Alvin Kamara had that one crazy, what was it, like 56 yard, like a pinball. That had to have wrecked someone's day, did it not?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's why in this scoring system, I'm in many redraft leagues, with this scoring system as well. I have Kamara in 3 of those leagues. I mean, I'm not going to get burnt by him again.
No, and I have to assume in a dynasty-based league that this is a premium that, like, you know, are there a lot of trades in this league? Do fellow GMs, you know, mix up the trade action?
There's a good amount of trading. You know, it's a home league, so we're all good friends. This is, like I said, shout out to my boys in Myrtle Beach. This is a Myrtle Beach-based league. We all know each other. A lot of us have been friends for 20 plus years. Some of these guys grew up together. So, there's a lot of talking, there's a lot of smack talking, and there's a good amount of trade activity. Really, what's more than that though, is they're kind of short benches and there's no third round to the draft. There's only two rounds to the rookie draft. So there is a lot of waiver wire action. Ton.
That's fantastic. I think that's the one detractor sometimes of now. I like playing on MFL. I like playing. I just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because I'm old fashioned or I just like the way that lays out, but I like the MFL. I like 30 man rosters. I like 5-man taxis, and I like having plenty of roster space. But sometimes, man, you go to the waiver wire and you're just kicking over rocks and finding nothing. I mean, it's brutal. So tonight, as we record this on Monday, the 26th, Monday Night Football, Tyler Higbee was a late scratch. you know, he has a hand injury. He didn't play this game. And, you know, if you and this actually happened in the league that I'm in, shout out to JP Hurley. JP was planning on playing Tyler Higbee tonight. He had Austin Hooper, who missed the Sunday game with an appendectomy. So he's going to fire up some Tyler Higbee on Monday Night Football. And he went and picked up some of the 11 tight ends on the Bears, some guy I'd never even heard of, just to have a starting roster. So I like the short benches. I like the ability to be in more action. So tell me, how did you come into possession of this team? Did you inherit it? Did you draft it? When did you become the GM of this squad?
So before the 2019 season, my boy Jamie Steele dropped out, left this team in just tatters. I mean, really just destroyed this roster. And I took it on as a looked at my rosters, guys that my whole life, my best friend in the world is in this league, and look his roster compared to my roster. But you know what? Like I said, I took it on as a challenge. Made some deals, and hopefully I'm on my way up. My worst in this league is that I can't lose games. I'm trying to lose games to get better draft picks, and I want to play out last year.
Well, that can certainly be frustrating when you're not actively tanking. You're not pulling a you're kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars. You don't want to tank. You know, the GM wants to tank. The owner wants to tank. They want to get those better draft picks. But you're just out there putting out your best lineup every single week. And sometimes things happen, like when they happened to my Colts a few weeks back on week one with the Jags. So, hey, I mean, I've been there. So let's go. Let's spin through this roster a little bit. Now, this is a one QB league. I'm going to cover your QBs. You have the hotter than the surface of the sun, a man that I am a big, big fan of, is Justin Herbert. If you've listened to the Dynasty Warzone at all, he is someone that both me and Tyler being the head honcho over here at the Dynasty Happy Hour, he is someone that Tyler and I were both very high on. And I've also got to give a tip of the cap to Riley Bymaster of the DTC. He also was extremely high on Justin Herbert. We're all in the league together, and I think you've hit a home run with Mr. Herbert. You got Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking at the way you have your lineup set. You actually had to bench Aaron Rodgers to play Justin Herbert this week, which, again, you're being a good owner. And Drew Locke. I tell you, you know, before the season started, I would have been, I guess, more bullish on Mr. Locke, but he has not looked great. In fairness to him, he is coming back from a shoulder injury. So let's dive in together to the quarterback position. Has anyone come a calling on Aaron Rodgers or Justin Herbert? Because on my Justin Herbert, people are like, "Hey, how can I get that?"
Well, not exactly. So last year I tried to trade Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, I didn't have Herbert yet. I didn't have Locke yet either. I got him in the offseason. But last year I tried to trade Aaron Rodgers and I got laughed at. You know, in a 10-team, one QB league, even with really high QB scoring, Justin Herbert got me 68 this week. It's hard to trade a quarterback. I mean, someone has to be really motivated. There was one motivated guy, a good friend of mine, Eric. I tried to trade him Aaron Rodgers this year. It just kind of didn't really work out. And then he traded DK for Kyler in the offseason.
I would have loved. I mean, in a 10-team, one QB league, I don't think you could really go wrong on either side of that deal. If you watch Sunday Night Football against the Eagles, Kyler absolutely destroyed people. And I know DK had a bum game, but going into that game, he was one of the hotter wide receivers out there. So, yeah, I think you're going to need someone else to catch unfortunate and have an injury to one of the big one of the big QBs to be able to move Rodgers, and he would have to be able to stay on fire the way that he has been to be able to move him in a 10 QB. But I think you're certainly set. I don't know that in – I honestly believe in a 20 – in a 20-pick rookie draft, because that's basically what your rookie draft would be. You said it was two rounds, 10 teams. That's the simple math. There's going to be some quarterbacks on the market. So if you have to cut Drew Lock loose for any reason, it's not a huge loss to the dynasty world for you. And let's see here. Let's go to running backs, because this is a position where you've got a little talent, but you've got a little ways to go. You've got one of my personal favorites, Josh Jacobs. You've flexed in Jamal Williams for the injured Aaron Jones, Cam Akers, Zach Moss, Keyshawn Vaughn, Jordan Howard, Anthony McFarland. So you've got every rookie running back that you're looking for that year two Ronald Jones-esque breakout. So, Did you acquire? How did you get started with Jacobs? Because Jacobs is one of my personal favorites.
Sure. So I had the first pick first year. So I took Jacobs with the first pick. Took Noah Fant. We'll get the tight ends, but Noah Fant with my first, second round pick. Man, it is really hard to get running backs in this league. These guys know the value. Like I said, we're all redraft veterans. We know they get hurt, and if you'd like, in a little while, we'll go over how some of the wide receiver trades for running back trades that I've made, and none of them have worked out. Not a single one.
Well, so, they haven't worked out yet.
Right. I mean, you know, it's only been a year and a half, not even. So, you know, I'm still working on the team. I'm still waiting for, you know, the young players to get better. But, yeah, as far as trying to make a trade for even an RB2 in this league, very difficult.
Yeah, from everything that you've said so far, you would literally have to hit like the next James Robinson to really move this. Your wide receivers are clearly where you've got great talent. You've got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Robert Woods, Mike Williams, Michael Pittman, Brian Edwards, and a guy that I'm really excited to see the field here in the not too distant future in Jalen Reagor. Now, this is something that I've covered recently on the Dynasty Warzone Patreon. I am becoming a larger fan of building around one stud running back, which you've got. Now, this is a very unique scoring format. But I'm a big fan right now of building around one stud running back and then give me a lot of point producers at the wide receiver position. The game has changed in the NFL, and if you don't adapt with that as a dynasty GM, you're going to be left behind. Right now, all of my most contending teams across all my leagues, if I'm super heavy on running back and middle of the road on wide receiver, I'm in the middle of the pack right now. But any of my teams where I have really good depth and really top talent, the wide receiver position, I'll use a league that I'm in. It's called the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League. And I went into the season with basically three running backs of merit. I went in with Leonard Fournette, Austin Eckler, and James White. And I did have James Robinson on the bench. So that's worked out. But, I mean, I've been playing nothing but wide receivers in this league. And I should be in second place when the smoke clears after this week. So I don't mind all the wide receivers. The one thing for this format is that, and I can't understand why, that Josh Jacobs is just not overly involved in the passing game. That's where you really need him to take part. So what do you like about your wide receiver room, and who would you try to move if you had the opportunity?
Well, you know, DJ Moore is the guy that he's kind of like the pearl that I inherited on this roster. So that's the guy that I'm building around. I picked up Robbie Anderson off waivers before 2019 started. Not sure how he got there, but he was there. So I spent $100 in fab on Robbie Anderson to start the year. Just trying to build some depth while I trade other wide receivers to try to build, you know, running back depth. But yeah, DJ Moore is the guy I'm building around. You know, obviously if Mike Williams can get going, he's a great hookup with Herbert. Robert Woods is solid. You know, he's kind of like my solid number two is how I look at him. And then I just, you know, I kind of rotate, and then I've got a bunch of young guys. You know, Rager's my man. I took Rager in the first round. I had two first round picks. I took Rager in the first round with my second first round pick, and looked at him as the guy that had the best path to targets and production right away. And then he got hurt right away, and it didn't really work out that way. But you know, when he gets back, I guarantee he takes over that D-Jack's role to start, and then is going to be just a Mr. Everything in that Eagles offense. So really, DJ Moore, Rager, and then Robert Woods, and then sort of everybody else I kind of will rotate at flex. Also have Gabriel Davis that I picked up off waivers that I really like.
I think the one that you're really going to like, especially once they get rid of Old Man Rivers, is going to be Michael Pittman. I really like what I've seen out of this young man as an Indy native, and I just don't think Uncle Phil is the cheat code that's going to unlock him. But I like building around good wide receivers, and I like how your wide receivers are tiered. You've got Robert Woods, who I think is 28, 29, going to give you a couple of good years. You got Robbie Anderson, who's that middle-aged 20, I think he's 27, maybe 28. Then you've got a couple of super young guys in Rager and Moore. So you're just going to have like be able to ride that wave of good wide receiver, you know, production. You have all of your first. What are the odds you could maybe acquire another draft pick in this league? I mean, you said that going into this year's rookie draft, you had two first. What are the odds that maybe you could move an Aaron Rodgers for a pick?
About that. So odds are kind of low. The first thing I did when I got this team is I went to my best friend in the world, shout out to Buck, and traded him. You know, I looked at his roster, you know, he had Chubb and another great running back and Tyreek Hill, and he was primed to make a run, but he needed a wide receiver. And I had Antonio Brown, and this is before training camp started in 2019. And so we made a deal. I traded him Antonio Brown for his first and second round picks, which in this league is your entire draft. And then all the craziness happened with Antonio Brown, and it, you know, a deal's a deal. I've known this man since I was in third grade, and he knows as well as I do a deal's a deal. So we weren't trading back, and I just have gotten a reputation since. People do not want to give me draft picks.
Well, that's unfortunate, because I would love for you to be able to unload a Aaron Rodgers for someone, because you're going to use – in a one QB league, now that you've uncovered this diamond that is Justin Herbert, you're gonna ride him forever. All right, let's take a quick spin through the tight ends of this roster. Down here, you have got Robert Tonyan, and I am I missing? Oh, Noah Fant. So is it just Tonyan and Fant on the roster?
I picked up Greg Olsen just to be a fill-in, and I think I cut him last week to pick up Keyshawn Vaughn was on waivers. I couldn't believe it, so I had to do it.
I'm still a big Keyshawn Vaughn guy. So I don't know if you've been following Roto World, but it looks like Leonard Fournette has stolen LeSean McCoy's passing down role. And Ronald Jones will keep his first and second down role. But here's the thing. Leonard Fournette's going to be a free agent in the offseason. And the odds of them being able to re-sign him and everybody else, and they continue to work Vaughn in. I think Vaughn had more snaps recently than LeSean McCoy. I know Sunday of week 7, only Fournette and Jones took snaps. But I really see him getting the opportunity to emerge in year 2. So, in a league where running backs are extremely hard to come by, hey, I don't blame you a bit. I've seen a little bit of Anthony McFarlane out there. So all in all, I think you've got the pieces. I don't know what Tanyan will ever be as a tight end. We just need Noah Fant to stay healthy. My one concern with Noah Fant is his seemingly incomparable ability to get hurt a lot. He had missed a couple of games with injury. He comes back and he gets injured again. And the other thing that makes me a little nervous is that Albert Okwuegbunam, I don't think I'm pronouncing that right anymore. I used to think I was pronouncing it like a genius, but Albert O, the backup tight end in Denver, and Drew Locke went to college together. And you saw some of that rapport on Sunday of week 7. So for me, now, is this a league where guys try to chase young tight ends? Are they always looking for the next Gronk, the next Kittle, the next Kelsey?
Yeah, but again, it's short benches. So, you know, you can really only have 3 tight ends.
I would be looking. So a move, and again, you've got a reputation, so you may have to overpay a little bit. If you're not trying to actively like tank or go against the rules, but if I found a way to throw Noah Fant after a couple of good games into a package.
That's a good idea.
I mean, maybe, and it's not that I want to give up on Noah Fant, but it's like in a league where we've already talked about, it's hard to get running backs and there are plenty of other young tight ends you could get. I don't know what the availability of a Dallas Goedert is in this league. I don't know. I think Austin Hooper is really going to flourish in Cleveland with OBJ gone. On a little side note, those of you that follow me on social media, you know what a not a fan of Baker Mayfield I've been. But the Baker Mayfield I saw after Odell Beckham got hurt on Sunday in week 7, not that it's a good thing. You don't ever want anyone to get hurt, whether I like him as a player or whatever. But stuff happens. And the Baker that I saw after that injury to Odell Beckham looked like a man who had had a heavy yoke lifted off his back, and then he went on to throw 5 touchdowns. And we saw 3 of those go to tight ends, 1 to Njoku, and Harrison Bryant's a guy I would be looking for on my waiver wire. With short benches, if I could give up Tanyan and get a Harrison Bryant, he was, I think it's the Mackey Award for tight ends in college, if I remember correctly. That feels right. It feels right. The Mackey Award. Anyway, this kid won it, and they seem to really like him, and they've already extended Miles Garrett. They're going to have to extend Baker. They're paying Odell Beckham and Landry a lot of money. Austin Hooper could be a cap casualty down the road. So if you're looking for a good young tight end to throw on that roster, go see if Harrison Bryant's available.
Yeah, he is. Actually, he's out there and enjoy. Actually, so it's not that's actually a really good idea. Last year when I took Fant, Hockenson went 2nd or 3rd overall. I took Jacobs and expected Miles Sanders to go next, and Hockenson went and floored me. So, yeah, guys are definitely looking for young tight ends in this league. I might be able to get a running back for him. You know, maybe package a younger running back and a tight end, or a wide receiver and a tight end. That might work.
Yeah, I would just look around and, you know, maybe try to think back to the draft. One thing I try to do is keep little notes on all my owners. Hey, who was super high on this player? Who always had a crush on that player? I know Tyler listens to and makes sure that all of these shows are in great shape before they air on the Dynasty Happy Hour airwaves. I can tell you from personal experience that Tyler will way overpay for at least one person. Here's a little cheat code. If you're in like maybe a listener league or a Patreon league with Tyler in the Dynasty Happy Hour family of leagues, he will overpay for TJ Hockenson. You know, the term, I sold my soul for rock and roll. Well, Tyler will sell his soul for TJ Hockenson and probably DeAndre Swift too. But if you follow him on Twitter, you probably know that. So that would be a move I would make. So here's what I would tell you. With the amount of talent coming out in last year's draft, the draft before that, and then this coming year's draft, the amount of players who are going to be extremely talented at the wide receiver position, I would never, unless like someone amazing just fell in your lap. I don't know that I would ever draft another wide receiver or running back again. Now, if you're like in the second round and this Kyle Pitts kid, the tight end from Florida happened to fall to you at number whatever, you're 204 or whatever, I'm making that up, then maybe I have to consider pulling the trigger. But knowing that the availability of running backs in this league are extremely difficult, I don't know how you could ever pass on a running back. I've always been a draft running back trade for wide receiver guy anyway.
Yeah.
So I just think you're going to have to steer into knowing the league. I wish this league was less onto your secrets and less, a little bit less onto your moves. But we're going to have to figure out a way to get you a running back. Now, what's your record in this league?
Right now, I'm 3-4 after a win this week.
3-4, and that puts you in what position?
I'm not sure with the points. My points aren't great, so probably
guesstimate, like bottom sixth, four?
Yeah, sixth or seventh.
Okay. Yeah, I know you're not tanking, but
I can't bring myself to.
No, and you shouldn't. But there might be times where, I mean, it's going to be hard. You should never play Drew Lock, but I don't think there's anything wrong with guessing between Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert.
Right.
You know, Robert Tonyan's healthy. Noah Fant's hurt. But then you're there in the middle, because here's the thing. There are at least four really good running backs in this class. Is there a way to maybe trade? You said it's going to be difficult to trade for one of those guys in another pick.
Yeah. I mean, definitely there's always a way to do something. So is to pay attention to, you know, who has injuries, who has needs, who's rebuilding, who isn't rebuilding. Just keep looking at rosters and just keep making offers. You know, it's kind of a grind filling this one position for me, but yeah, I mean, I do think I can. I do think at some point, well, you know, and I'll be honest, there's a team in the league that starts Tannehill, and he's got some other garbage at running or at quarterback, so he could definitely use Aaron Rodgers, but he's rebuilding, you know. So I hesitate to hit him up and try to sell him something that he doesn't really need. I don't. That's not the way I try to trade. You know, I try to look for a need on another roster, and then look for something on that roster that I could take, you know, that would help me. You know, I don't want what happened with me and Buck to happen with every trade. I want everybody to walk away feeling good about it. That way we'll trade again in the future, you know?
Hey, the world famous gambler Amarillo Slim said, you can shear a sheep many times, but you're only going to skin him once. and that's a good way to look at things. You know, you don't have to rob everybody and get over on everybody. I do have one more question for you, then I'll open up to questions for me. What if we steered into this the other way? What if we tried to go reverse and maybe moved a Josh Jacobs and got maybe some upside young running backs along with some picks? Because you said it, running backs are hard to come by. I think at this point, and it's just in Bob and I play in other leagues. Excuse me, Jesse and I play in other leagues together. So you know what a fan of Josh Jacobs I am. I'm a huge, huge fan.
As am I. That's something we share.
And I don't want to move him, and I wouldn't want to. But if I thought maybe I could get like a DeAndre Swift plus, I don't think that's out of the question. You just need to let them have one bad and one good game. I don't think Swift's game on Sunday against Atlanta was great. He kind of got bailed out with a touchdown. He finished with like 14 points in a traditional PPR league and crazy Jesse scoring. I don't know what that would translate to. But I do know that he got bailed out by the touchdown. And being a very touchdown-heavy league, I'm sure that would have looked pretty nice in his box score on Sunday. And I know Jacobs had an absolute stinker. But he would be a target. Maybe J.K. Dobbins, maybe the J.K. Dobbins owner. It's gambling. I'm a gambler, but maybe you could get J.K. Dobbins and a first for Josh Jacobs. Maybe you could even probably get more than that.
Let me ask you, do you think this is fair?
Sure.
Jay, because the Dobbins, well, the Swift owner, actually, I think that could work too. He's rebuilding. He could use a stud running back for sure. You know, and the Dobbins owner and I have a good rapport. We could, you know, we could definitely potentially work something out. So what would you think about Fant and Jacobs for Dobbins, Goddard, and his first, which would probably be top three or four next year? Is that too much on my side or too much on his side?
I think you're maybe selling yourself a little bit short, but but this kind of helps your mission in a couple of ways. Because if you move Jacobs, he's not going to have that 35-point week on your roster. He's going to have it on someone else's roster. You're going to be forced to put J.K. Dobbins into your starting lineup because it's the best you got, right? You would never not set the best lineup you possibly could, but that's going to help lower the value. It's going to lower your number of wins, but increase your draft capital. And maybe you could get two picks inside the top four. Because in this draft class, I am not the Devy guy. I surround myself with wonderful Devy people. I've got Jerry and Kane and Shane and Josh from our Devy Warzone family. I've been very fortunate to make friends with guys like Bill Latton at the Devy Happy Hour, Nick Whalen, Ray GQ, so many great guys. Just very blessed. But from what I understand, man, there's at least 4 to 5 really good running backs coming out in this class. So I know there's Chuba Hubbard, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, the Gainwell kid out of Memphis, and the kid Journey Brown out of Penn State. I don't know a ton about all of these guys, but I do know that, you know, if you're in that top five, you're going to be right there where you want. Now, if this is a super flex, you could go as deep as maybe the top eight because you start adding in all these quarterbacks, and then the wide receiver class is just going to be unreal. So if you could walk away, if you think about if you were able to move Jacobs, that deal you just laid out, you could hypothetically walk away with Dobbins, one if not two of the top rookie picks that will turn into running backs next year. So now you have anywhere from 2 to 3 good young running backs in potentially good situations and your tight end situation. Because here's the thing, in my opinion, whether they trade Zach Ertz or they cut Zach Ertz, the Philadelphia Eagles are already in cap hell. They're $68 million over the cap. Zach Ertz is wanting more money, and it was rumored that he was on the trading block before he got his high ankle sprain that's going to cost him to move time. We've thought for a couple of years now that Dallas Goedert is the future there, and I just envision an offense of Rager and Goddard and one of these wide receivers in 2021, whether it's a Jamar Chase or a Rondell Moore or a Devonta Smith or something like that. And this offense is pretty young, pretty awesome with a good quarterback. So I certainly champion that move. I would now, do you guys already have your 2022 picks out there?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
So like in some of my leagues, like we can trade 2021 and 2022 first round picks. Is that something you guys do?
Yeah, you can, but technically the rule is you're supposed to pay up for those years if you're trading future picks. It's a pretty healthy buy-in for this league. So not sure if somebody, you know, especially in these trying times.
Hey, you know what I mean? I like the fact that you've put this much thought into how you make your moves. But yeah, I think Dobbins, a future first, and Goddard. I really think you could probably even like maybe look around the back end of that GM's roster and maybe even unearth one more little piece that you might be able to stash on the back end of your roster.
Well, you know, I can actually, you know, I can definitely ask him for a second. And, you know, I hesitate to say this because I know he's going to be listening to this, but, you know, if I get his second, I feel like I can get Kyle Pitts or Freiermuth or Brevin Jordan and just replace that, you know?
Well, and then you would be getting Goddard back at the same time.
Right.
And
as much as I like Fant over Goddard, I love Goddard. And I know for a fact that this is Zach Ertz's last year in Philly. If he was not on the IR, he would be traded before the deadline.
I really think a team like Buffalo could use him. You got to because you got to think about teams that need weapons that also have a rookie contract, because it's going to be real hard to put him on a team with a Matt Ryan or a Russell Wilson making 30 some odd million dollars, because you're going to part ways with him next year and you're going to give up some kind of capital to acquire him. But man, I think we've talked through this a little bit. I think you just got to kind of go the opposite. If you can't acquire more running backs from these fellow GMs out there, I think you have to steer into it and try to turn Josh Jacobs, your best running back, into a couple of two or three pieces. And I don't think you even have to send Fant. I honestly think you could try to send Jacobs, Tonyan for Goddard, Dobbins, and a first, and just see where it goes. Okay. Right, especially if that owner has another GM that they, already has another tight end that they like, you know? And then, because then if you manage to get that through, go ahead.
He has Johnny Smith.
Oh, well then that's perfect. So Tanyan's your new backup. Josh Jacobs is your new stud. And then that allows you to shop Fant to another owner further on down the line.
Nice.
You know, because now you've got, you're starting to put your tight end room together. You can go out and spend a few fab dollars and get Harrison Bryant. You can add Dallas Goedert. That makes Noah Fant very expendable. You let him get healthy in the back half of the season, let him stitch a couple of two or three good games together. There's your sell window. And I know the metrics heads and the people who follow, you know, the college, I know that Noah Fant has almost a perfect player profiler card. That's sweet. But you know what I'm almost positive of is that Dallas Goedert is a better football player. He's got a better quarterback. And if he ever gets it, because what am I always looking for? You know this about me. I'm looking for volume. I'm looking for value. And if he gets that volume, if he gets the Zach Ertz volume with his talent in that offense in Philly, I mean, Zach Ertz has been a top three tight end for the last 3 or 4 years, give or take. Mm-hmm. I think coming into the season, he was definitely in the top four with Kittle, Kelsey, Andrews, and Ertz.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's younger than Kelsey, so it's not like he's some grand old man and Ertz can't revitalize his career. This is not the trash Ertz segment of the program. I'm just merely using this as a way to prop up Goddard. So I think we got some plans going on this league. What other questions do you have for me before I get you on down the road?
I really like this plan. You know, I came into this prepared for you to tell me I was going to have to trade Herbert, and it was going to hurt because I just love this guy. You know, he is just stone cold, man. I love the look on his face. I love the ice in his veins, and I don't want to trade him. So the fact that you pick the other two high value guys on my roster to trade makes a lot of sense to me, and I like it. So
I appreciate the kind words.
I think it's, you know, I think it's something that are out there listening to this right now, they can understand that we're not making a plan to jip anybody. We're not making a plan to rip anybody off. We're trying to make a plan to give fair value to help, you know, my team and the team I'm dealing with.
Yeah, and guys, like I said, I jokingly use the phrasing of, again, professional gambler Amarillo Slim, but I always take great care in the trade offers that I send. You know, I'm going to wrap this up with a bit of general advice for everybody. First of all, Jesse, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing this unique format. And two things. One, if you have currently rostered Justin Herbert in any format, do not let him go. Do not let him go. I don't know what it would take because I've only got a couple of shares. One, I've got a pretty ugly rebuild that a couple of guys wrote me into that I managed to get Justin and Herbert on. And then in one of my leagues, I was able to move. I'll have to remember the exact trade and I'll tweet it out. But I moved DJ Moore and a running back, and not a great one, for Justin Herbert and Jalen Reagor. And here's the thing. I could be maybe a year from now and Rager and DJ Moore could be equal. And I got Justin Herbert, and this owner didn't even want another quarterback back. So,
wow. That's a great deal.
Hey, here's the thing. I know a lot of people are very, and you should be, by the way, people should be very bullish on Joe Burrow and Tua. But I know Tua is going to play Buffalo twice a year, and that defense will get healthy at some point. Don't let the fact that it's been a sieve, don't let the fact that people have been putting up points on it make you think that defense is a joke. Same thing with New England. These are defensive-minded head coaches that will get their defensive house in order. And the same thing with Joe Burrow. He's got to play Baltimore twice a year. He's got to play Pittsburgh twice a year. But look at our man Justin Herbert, that beautiful California head of hair, out there looking like a young Bodie from Point Break, for those of you that get that reference. And my man's going to be in shootouts with Patrick Mahomes, shootouts with the Oakland Raiders, and if Denver gets their mess together, he is very good. So I'm going to end this with a couple of trade tips for everybody. If you're a rebuilder, like I've got some rebuilds, I'm a contender in some leagues. If you're a rebuilder, the owners that you should be looking to work with are the ones in the top six, maybe top seven. What do you have an abundance of? What do you have that's maybe on that age cliff, right there on that teeter-totter? And how can you go work with those owners? Don't send a guy with George Kittle, Tyler Higbee, and I don't know, Cole Kmet. Don't send that guy Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert for a piece. He doesn't need your tight end. Go look where he's weak, where you're trying to move. And I do this. I've got a league right now where I am trying to get some draft capital. It's all I'll take for him. I know what I want. I'm trying to move Tom Brady in a league where I've got Justin Herbert, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Tom Brady. I'm not a contender in this league, and I want to move Tom Brady, but I only want young players or draft capital. So guess which owners I'm going to. I'm going to the owners that own Jalen Reagor. I'm going to the owners that have a couple of firsts, because that's just good form. There is nothing more frustrating as a dynasty GM than seeing trade offer in your inbox. That's a big thumbs up. That's a smile. That'll put a smile on your face first thing in the morning. And then go and it's a wide receiver or a tight end that would never crack your starting lineup in a million years. Extremely frustrating. So I just wanted to end on that. But before I do, Jesse, man, what else do you have for me? I know you're not a big Twitter guy. You told me that just so you could interact with me, you signed up for a Twitter. Do you want these people to find you?
Man, hey, that's great. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, that's awesome. I think my handle is @FantasyHerb.
That sounds right.
I am the fantasy herbalist. I just want to say thank you. And, you know, thank you for inviting me into your community. I really appreciate it. You're probably the best analyst out there to interact with, because you will actually interact and give me some good advice. And I really appreciate it, man. Everything you do every day, I really appreciate it.
Well, I super appreciate those kind words, because at the Dynasty Warzone, now this is a Dynasty Happy Hour property, but here at the Dynasty Warzone, man, I always sign off every show. And this goes for me. It goes for my co-host, Jesse. It goes for our new content providers, Maddie and Kyle. We're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. We want to consistently put out good content that people enjoy doing it, but it requires people like you. It's people like you that make doing this show fun. Because for me, unless someone's copied it and I don't know about it, this is the only show in the dynasty space that brings the listener, the consumer, and the backbone of any dynasty or any podcast, really, onto the show. So I'm super proud of that. His name is Jesse. We don't know exactly what his Twitter handle is. I'll try to remember to tag him when this show comes out live. It may be a little bit, because I'm starting to stack these up, and Tyler ultimately decides on what order they hit the airwaves at the DHH. But Jesse, thank you again so much for jumping on with me. And on behalf of Jesse, remember, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, your roster is not a life sentence. We can help you make it better. We can help you fix it. And until next time, thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great week.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my hands a monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Depth of Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.